התכנסנו כאן היום לרגל יום השנה שמורנו ורבנו שר התורה הגאון המופלא לרב עובדיה יוסף בן גורג'יה זכר צדיק וקדוש לברכה. אנחנו זוכים כאן שנמצא איתנו הרב צבי חקק שליט"א, שהיה משמשו האישי של הרב ועוזרו במשך שנים ארוכות. בעזרת השם הוא יפתח את דברי ההספדים ויספר לנו על מקצת מדמותו של ענק הענקים שאנחנו זכינו לומר שגדלנו והיינו בדור של מרן הרב עובדיה זכר צדיק וקדוש לברכה. בכבוד הרב חקק.
שבת קראנו פרשת נוח, פרשה פותחת בארץ תולדות נוח. נוח איש צדיק תמים היה בדורותיו, את האלוקים התהלך נוח. עוברים המפרשים, יש הדורשים את נוח
בגנאי. And there's those who explain Noah for the benefit of it. He was good or he was bad? If the Torah says that Noah was tzaddik in his generation, why in any event do we need to search for difficulties to investigate? Some people say he wasn't aesthetic. But why do we need to look for a bad reason if the Torah says that he was aesthetic in his generation? Why do we have to look for bad things about him, about Noah? But here we find one of the fundamental principles. Here we find one of the fundamental principles that we can say about Rav Ovadia. He would say
Noach tzaddik beparvaya.
Noach was a tzaddik. For example, if someone who comes in the winter, he comes into the Beit HaMidrash in the winter and it's cold there. And he wants to warm it up. So now he's got two options. He can take an oven, light the oven, and warm the oven that way, warm the Beit HaMidrash that way, and then he can sit and learn. Alternatively, there's another person that's tzaddik, and he comes into the Beit HaMidrash, and it's cold, and he wants to learn. What does he do? He takes the coat and uses it like a blanket, and he sits and he learns. Both of them sit and learn. If so, what's the difference between them? This one sits and learns, and that one sits and learns. The difference is
the one
who lights the tanur, the oven for the whole Beit HaMidrash. Anyone else who comes in and wants to sit and learn, he can be also warm. Not only just for him, everybody else can also be warm. Everyone who enters the Beit HaMidrash, he can benefit from the warmth. Noah was also a tzaddik in this way. He built an ark. He saved his wife. He saved his children. But what about the rest of the generation? It says that when he came out of the ark, he started to cry when he saw the world was destroyed. Hashem said to him, now you're going to cry? Why didn't you cry before? Then I wouldn't have to bring the mud bullets to the flood itself. And in truth, this is something that we can see the way of Rav Ovadia, Maran. If we look at Maran, then we see even at a young age, when he was still young, always thought about other people, thought about the group. He wrote that he explained, first of all, in the home there was a book that he books that he received at the age of 6 or 7. He learned books on Gemara. that he learned difficult Gemaras. And I received this book as a gift. A notebook that he wrote in, and he wrote in there that at the age of six, sorry, the age of ten, he went to Iraq with his father for a few months to visit family. And there was, what did they, there was a yeshiva there. They were there for a long, they were there for a certain time, a few months, and there was a yeshiva there. His father took him to a yeshiva there. And first of all, he prayed on a lot. He wasn't used to the fact, he wasn't used to the way they learned in that particular yeshiva. Suddenly, that a small boy of 10 years old would learn Gemara with him. When Maran went into the yeshiva and he started to learn, then one of the rabbis comes over to him. He's a small boy learning Gemara. They say to him, boy, this is not a game here. These books are not a game. And so Maran says to the rabbi, so test me on anything you like here. So they tested him, and of course he stayed there. And he was a 10-year-old boy as part of the class. When he was still there. With the permission of the Rav, one of the rabbis who was there, he was one of the Gedolim of Babel.
That
when one of the sons of the rabbi was a young boy, he would learn in a also with the son of this rabbi. One day after school, he went with him to his house, and the son wanted to show him his father, and he introduced him to his father.
Even though
he said that this Rav said that the even though there were people like Rav Avadia, no one was like him. He was huge, unique.
The Baba
Sali, when he came to Eretz Yisrael, he lived originally in Ashkelon.
This
person who was a helper for the Baba Sali, he said that the Baba Sali had a minhag on Shabbat and Yom Tov. He would dress in white, but on other days he wouldn't wear those clothes. And that during that same period, one day, in the middle of the week, the Baba Sali called me and said, dress me in my white clothes. And he said to the Rav, it's the middle of the week. And the Baba Sali said, no, give him my special white clothes anyway. At a time when there was no telephones and no one knew anything. So the Rav said, dress me in my white clothes. Afterwards he said, do you know why I should dress in my white clothes? He said, soon someone is going to come to me, and the Rav Avadia Yosef is going to be coming to me. And because of that, I'm wearing my special white clothes. No one even knew that the Rav was coming, because they didn't have telephones or anything. So Rav Sali knew he was coming.
Of course,
Rav Avadia came and sat with Rav Sali, and sat, they drank after he left. the Rabbi Sally called him. And he said to the helper, to see who was here. This person is a wise man. He's not fitting for us. He's not fitting for this generation. This is an Ashama from the generation that got on him. Not to this generation. But he's not compared to us. He's not appropriate for us at all. Even from his childhood, he also, it says that one of the rabbis of the Maran, there was a lot of poverty, not a lot to
eat.
He was 6 or 7 years old, and in the break time, he would take a piece of paper to write Birkat HaMazon out so that his friends could read Birkat HaMazon and say it with Kavana, because they didn't have the Birkat HaMazon. When he was young, he sacrificed himself over his own learning and write great Kiddushim on the Torah that people can understand how a small child could write them at the age of 8, the age of 10. Then you were right. That's why he said it's important that everyone should write their own Chiddushim. Every breath should write, even if he says, I haven't got nothing to write, he should try and write some his thoughts. He said to me, you should write. And I said to him, I don't have anything to write.
Said,
even if they're just nonsense, you should write them anyway. And that's truly that's how we began. One of the great rabbis told me the same thing.
He
said to me, you should know.
What
comes out after it.
He said, when
you get used to writing, regardless of what actually comes out, you can also speak over, give over what you can look at Moran's writing and see how clear it was, and it encourages people. And he encouraged people to make their own leadership, to write notebooks. After the 54 books that he wrote, there's lots and lots more of notebooks that are still not yet being published. There's 74 notebooks that haven't yet been written. This week, all 10 copies of Yabi Omer, the book Yabi Omer from Iran, with the commentaries. He would make, sometimes he would make a book, and the first couple of volumes. Even though they weren't complete, he would write the initial, the starting volumes, and you put them out anyway. Also additions that he would add into books in his later years, he would write in. Already from his childhood, he became known as a posse. And people would relate to him in that way. The Rabbanit Rozovsky told, she's the daughter of the from one of the Gedolador. She was the one who supervised the people would come to see him, the Kabbalah Kal. It doesn't matter who you were, you have to stay in the queue. Anyone who wanted to come to see him would have to stay in the queue. It doesn't matter who you are.
One of them.
No one took preference. Whoever you were, you had to write the picture. Now we see.
He had
conversations with Gedolei HaDor even from a young age that they were hidden away. He didn't want people to realize how great he was. And now they're coming down. The writings he had, the letters he had with Gedolei HaDor, with the great ones of the
door.
Like that.
Question.
They had. There was one avrech that sent him a question. Several times he sent him a question. Generally, when he would receive a question, his way was to. Would be to answer those who were simple general people, the Talmidei Chachamim, he wouldn't necessarily answer them, but the simple people who asked the question, he would be very quick to answer them. This rabbi wanted to find an answer.
Then
he'll find it. He would say that the rab who sent me or Talmid Chacham will find an answer from somewhere else. But a simple person who asked me a question, where's he going to find an answer from? So he would answer the question from the simple people and not necessarily the rabbanim who could have another way to find the answer. Anyway, this Talmid Chacham sent a question. Maran looked at it and put it on the side. Happened several times, 4 or 5 times. He asked the same question. He put it on the side, he didn't answer it. After a while, he contacted this rab. Maran contacted this. And he said, I found an answer from an answer. He found an answer from another rabbi of B'nai Brak. This great answer was an amazing answer.
But
every time he tried to publicize, the Talmid Chacham tried to publicize the ruling of this other rab, he couldn't publish it. He came to Maran. When they came to look through the books of Maran, and they found out lots of pages that were put inside the Sfarim, that would leave pages. He found that Rab came, that same Rab came to help take out all these pages from within the books. He opened the book in the writing. He found in a book and the answer to that Maran had written, saying why this other rab's opinion, which was so wonderful, was actually wrong. We're now in a generation.
For us,
everything seems natural that we learn Torah, that we've got yeshivot. But these things never used to be. In the generation of Maran, when he was young, particularly for Sfaradim, there weren't yeshivot at all. There was one yeshiva, Purat Yosef. Maran would say, There were 70 students, and they were very careful about who they would pick. You come to yeshiva for a couple of years, take what you could, and afterwards go out into the world. If a person was a carpenter, then his son would have to become a carpenter too. If he was a shoe, make shoes, then his son would also make shoes. That's the way of the world. No one would just go to yeshiva. The rabbi decided to change these things. He went to simple people to bring them into Torah, to explain to people there's something called learning Torah. Just because you fix shoes doesn't mean your son has to fix shoes. Even though this was very hard for
him,
he opened the yeshiva Porat Torah. This was the first Sephardi yeshiva opened after Porat Yosef, and this was the first one that broke the framework. Anyone who learned in the yeshiva,
Maran
would encourage him to continue to spread Torah, because that was the way. That was his way. What was the first thing about it? To give instructions. To give halacha. I'm teaching you how to learn halacha.
There's a word.
If you go this path, then you're going to work. There's rules about how we make rules about posseking, how to be a posseck, how to learn Torah, how to learn halakha the right way. Today, everywhere, we all learn halakha. But in that time, no one was learning that. Even in the Ashkenazi yeshivas, they were learning Gemara, but they weren't learning halakha. Rav Vozner,
who
was a great Talmud of the Chazonish, said that in his time, in that time, the Chazonish, they would learn halakha, and all his friends would laugh at him for learning halakha. What's the point? What's the point of learning halakha, they would say. It was very degraded, learning halakha. Maran, slowly, began with others to bring them into this idea of learning halakha. Taharat Abayit, he published a book called Taharat Abayit,
with
a
foundation for
people to learn Taharat Abayit. Now today that the girls, even young girls, know about Tara, in those earlier days, even the older women didn't know all the rules that they know now. So they had a revolution in order to bring the halakha to the people. One of the rabbis said, in our generation, we have a lot of great rabbis, a lot of Kutalei Ador, and each one says, my rab is the main rab, my rab is the main rab, each one says. But with Maran, Maran made a revolution that was even bigger than Gedolei Dor. Came before Gedolei Dor. Maran would say that all these books written by people who say that they're the son of so-and-so, Maran would explain that these people who now write these books, they're the son of a sandler, son of a shoemaker. As a result of the Maran who taught them, and then they wrote books. You go to a place of 5 people or 10 people. Went to Petatikva in the same year that his mother died. He didn't even have a minion for Kaddish. And he would Mosenefesh to go to those places. Didn't even have a minion. And he would teach the 5 or 10 people that even in the year that his mother died, he didn't have a minion, then he would go and teach. In that same period, there was no cars, no one had a car. He worked in the electric company, and he had a car from the electric company, like a company car. I decided to be the driver for the Maran, not the Maran that was working. Someone else was working for the company, and he had a car, and he was a driver for the Maran. He would make me take. Maran made sure that I would drive people. Slowly, slowly, he built the generation. Not to speak on the miracles.
Apart from all these things,
how many people owe their life to him, how he would look after the agunot that Maran would help women who were changed to divorces. After that, if we look at the letters, how many private people, how many people he was looking after, caring from them, for their work, for their school. When he heard that someone was in trouble, even things that we wouldn't think about, since Maran was the leader, he was dealing with all these things.
Well,
if you look in the newspaper,
we see
the news, that's what interests us. And not once or twice, Maran would take the newspaper and look at it, and in the bottom of the page, he would say, a widow with 12 sons, he would call the Nahag, Abraham, go now, go and find this person, and make sure that this person has food for Shabbos. And then he would call Chesed organizations, look in the paper, there's a widow, go and look after her. Sent her food. There was also a period that
Maran
said not to look at the newspapers because there was a lot of terrible things to look at in the paper.
It didn't matter.
Go help these people. He will be care about each and every one. Many years ago, in one day, it was snowing in Jerusalem. And when it snows, everybody's thinking, how am I going to leave the home? Maybe I'll take a day off. And what was he thinking? And suddenly, he would, when it started to snow, he was a lot of stress to take me to here, take me to there, to different people. I called someone to come to me, called this one to come to me. He was in the paper, I read that there's a demonstration against the government. How can we stay in this?
Mm-hmm.
the people, there's going to be a demonstration today. They saw in the newspaper, and I see it's going to snow. So I want you to go out and tell people not to stand out in the cold and in the snow. They should go home and be warm. Don't stand out. He was worried that people would be standing in the cold in order to demonstrate when they should be at home being warm. He said, if you go home now, we're going to help you when the snow finishes. We'll help you with your cause, but just go home now. Don't stand out in the snow now. Afterwards, we'll deal with it. What time? Maran was speaking about the matter of tzedakah. Lots of different types of organizations. Tzedakah organizations. He said the highest one that you can give, if I know a certain Talmid, a certain Avreich, and I know that he's in need, I need to give him direct. Why should I give it to an organization? I should give it direct to the Avreich that needs. But why should he might be embarrassed to take from me money? So he would go to a. He would say to the Avreich, here, I've got some money, I don't really need it, I don't know what to do with it. You take it and you look after it, do something with it. In order not to embarrass him. Anyone who lent him money. All the money he received, he would give out. Any widow that came for bracha, he would give her some money too. Even though she only came for bracha, he would give some money. But in any event, in the home, many documents written on this day, on that day, to this person. This one gave me money back, this one gave me money back from here. All the details were written there. But the day after his passing, we saw lots and lots of receipts of loans that he gave out that weren't paid back. And the Rav didn't even ask for the money back. He didn't want the money back. Even in the last years, people give him lots of money. And he would say, call a certain organization and give it to them. Many times he would give out money. Many people would receive money. They didn't even know it came from him. That was his way. And in all his greatness, he was very careful with himself. Like it's written, don't believe in yourself until the day of death. Every year he would travel on in Elul to Eilat to strengthen the people, to give them drashas.
And in truth,
now we see that there's a lot of Talmidei Torah, there's a lot of yeshivot and arachim in that city now. One year he went to Eilat. He had a big place to stay in, and he was in the salon and he was learning. One day we were there, and a certain person, Hachmolog, came in, and he put on the TV. Maran initially didn't look at it, ignored it. And then he lifted his head and he said to the guy, what is this? And he said, it's the news. Maran took a book and went to his bedroom, and he carried on learning in his bedroom instead. Didn't say anything, he just went out to learn. So the person realized what he did, and he turned the television on. And he came back to the Rav and said, the Rav, you can come back, I'll turn the television off now. And the Rav said, no, I can't go back into that room. You're right, the television's now off, but there's a big Yetzer Hara in that room now. And I'm not learning, I can't learn in that room now. And the whole time, he sat on his bed and learned from a book in low light in his bedroom and not go back into the television room. He said, this is a room which has in it a Yetzer. That's how careful he was about himself. Of course,
that
is Mesirut Nefesh. Before 7 or 8 years ago, that was the last time that he flew in Elul with all his strength of Torah.
Especially
every night he would go to a different place to strengthen people. We would return home late at night, and he would never go to bed. After all of the lectures that he would give every night, he would never, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, he would never go to his bedroom. He would go back to his study. But here, what happened? We went on a trip to Nahariya, took about an hour. We got to Nahariya. We went to see a lot of people who were sick, who wanted a bracha. He went to give them all a bracha. After Maran said, order me an ambulance. And anyone who knows Maran, you know that that's not his way. Even though generally, even though he knew it was a mitzvah to be careful about his health, with himself he would try to distance himself from doctors as much as he could. So they called him an ambulance. The ambulance came. And they had to put in a give him a stitch. After a while, when he began to get healthier, when did you start to feel pain? They asked him. He said 10 minutes. 10 minutes after you asked him, you could have gone home. It's a stuff for
him.
In Nahariya, thousands of people waiting for me to hear my words of Torah. And I started to feel the pain. But people wanted to come and listen to Torah. Even though I was starting to feel pain at that time, there were people who needed me. So I didn't say anything at that time. Only later on, after they'd all finished, he admitted that he was in pain and they brought him to the ambulance.
ואז אתה אומר לעצמך, טוב, אם הרב הולך לישון, יש לך גם קצת זמן לעשות דברים. ומרן הולך לחדר שינה, ועולה למיטה.
One day he went, after working hard, he went back to his bed.
רואים אותו יושב שוב, לומד.
He would come back after 5-10 minutes, and then he said to the rabbi, wait a minute, didn't you say it was time to go to bed? He said, yeah, I went to bed, I finished sleeping, and now I come back after 5-10 minutes. When he finished the sleep that he did, and he would come back and laugh. Even though he suffered a lot, he had a lot of sicknesses towards the end of his life.
When he died, the doctor
said, after he died, the doctor said, I want to tell you something. 12 years ago, when Maran came to me for his symptoms,
when I received him,
every time
he
would come,
Every year, whenever I would
go to Chutz La'aretz and I would come back, I would ask my wife, is Rav Avadya still alive? Because every year for 12 years I was certain that he couldn't carry on living with the situation he had. If he said to people that he was going to come to a place, he would come. He didn't want to have a Chilul Hashem by not turning up. So we'd always make an effort to do nefesh, to do whatever he said. Sometimes, one time there was a wedding of a convert that came close to the Torah, and the Maran said that he would come and come to the wedding. On that day, he had to go to a hospital. He had to have a difficult procedure in hospital.
We went to the
hospital, and he was very stressed. Why? Because he wanted to get to the chuppah. And as soon as we left the hospital, without even going home, he went straight to the wedding, straight to the chuppah, even with the plaster on his hand. Because he said he was going to go. That's how he would always do. The most important thing in his final years, which was
for many years, would receive people,
many people would see miracles.
But
he was very careful never to publicize these miracles when people come to him. For example, people who would have had abortions otherwise, and he would always promise that there was going to be a healthy child, and that was always the case.
But
when they would come to him, and they would say to him, people who weren't pregnant for many years, and they would say to the rabbi, look, they got the bracha from you and they became pregnant. And he would say, no, it's all Hashem. Hashem did everything. I didn't do anything. And he didn't want to speak about it. He said, don't speak about these things. He didn't want to speak about miracles that were in his name. It would hurt him very much if it was said in his name. In the last years, Maran, slowly,
הפחית את הקבלת קהל לאט לאט כיוון שמרן היה אומר אני לא יודע כמה זמן נשאר לי לחיות בעולם הזה.
He would say, I don't know how long I've got left.
הדבר שהיה חשוב לו,
and it was important for him,
החיים שלו, שהוא הנחיל לכולנו את ההלכה.
That he would teach people, he would spread the halakha, 54 books that he got out. That was important for him in the final years to get that out to people.
אבל זה היה מפעם חיים שלו, ולכן הוא גם
התחיל
לאט לאט בקבלת קהל, התחיל ביציאות. כמו שהוא היה אומר, אני צריך להשאיר סולת נקייה לדורות הבאים אחריי.
He would reduce his meeting of the people in order to write the books, to get the information out.
לא היה דפוס נפוץ כמו היום.
In those earlier days, there weren't such printing abilities that there are now. Not like today. Now we have a printer. Anyone who wants to get a book out, he can
publish a book.
When a person comes today to find out the halakha, he's got lots and lots of different books, and each posek has got a different answer. So what should he do?
Therefore,
he took as a
purpose
in his book to find the true halakha by taking all of the opinions
and
describing how to find the answer. How do you find the answer?
How
do you posek? That was the purpose of the book. And he would always say, and I do teach people after me, so they won't be confused, so they'll know to find the right halakha, how to make a posek, how to, the procedure to find the right halakha. Therefore you can't do without the books of Maran. In every place,
that was his job in life.
And anyone who wants to follow his way, for his memory, to go in his way,
they should
make halakha according to the way the Rav showed how to make halacha. Hi, Nick, how are you doing? Good to see you. It was winter. Read from the book of one of the books of Maran. He's going to bring one halakha that he learned from the books of the Rav, Rav Chavadia. If a person hears a bracha from his friend, he needs to
אינו רשאי להימלך, אלא חייב לתרום כלשהו כדי שתפוח לברכה עליו, ולא שיהיה כברכה לבטלה. זאת אומרת, אם לקחת את התפוח, ואתה רוצה לומר לך, תשמע, תפסיק לי לתפוח את התפוח, אם עושים תפוח את התפוח, ולמדת, כמה אני לא רוצה לאכול, זה ברכה לבטלה עם כל יופן. אני לא דרבתי, שומע כעוני, אתה מביא פה ככה הרבה את ה...
If you hear a bracha from someone, and you allow their bracha to make you kotev from the bracha, you have to have kavanah. If you didn't, it's a bracha levatala for you to listen to someone's bracha without kavanah. Rav Avadia put up the mezuzah here. Loves the roll. He loves Rav Arash. In truth, Maran, the Chiddush Gadol was a great Chiddush. He wasn't part of this generation. In all aspects, from halakha, the way he enlightened the world with halakha. Raised us up.
Open,
Shivot, to encourage people. Therefore, we're very fortunate. Body too far.
Who was speaking with him?
Dana.
I mean, in the first part.
Yeah, Dana. Yeah, I'm not completely sure. I don't keep up with these things, so. I think it was Shlomo Amar. Shlomo Amar? Is it? Oh, Shlomo Amar. Rabbi Amar. Shlomo Amar. Shlomo
Amar.
We merit the Shiva to have the Rav with us today.
We bless
the Rav. We bless him that he should be succeeding in his task and in his job, and should Allah the Siyam Sashmaita with his everything he does. With the permission of the Kehila and the Rav, we're blessed with all the Simcha and all the Tamidim, the Tzadikim and the Hasidim, respect to the Rav, the Rosh Maskiah of Naftali. Rabotai. I have a strong prayer that I asked Hashem, and it's very difficult. With Hashem's help, this is the way. We don't have another way. Hashem will help us to grasp the way of Maran a little bit. Rav Avadia Yosef. That in his merits we're here. He was a
Bardizman.
I am too small to say that this is a truth. Many years that Maran came into our generation to explain the Beit Yosef to us, so we could understand the Beit Yosef and to publicize it in all the land, and no one else publicized in the land and in the world like Moran. His elder Hatanov, son-in-law,
said,
and I asked him, I met him in this Cholamod, and I asked him to tell me again the same story. Simple things that people don't forget. Stories I remember, halakhot I don't remember, but this story is so wonderful. And in truth, and I thought that I might forget some details of it. So I asked him to tell me it again. When Maran was the doctors didn't know what to do to help him with his health. And important doctors, very expert, said there was nothing to do to help. Everybody was very upset. Maran took his older Chatan and said, do me a favor. He was in Tveria. In a hotel in Tveria. But every day he would sit in the keber of the Beit Yosef. I would read the Gemara, and he would listen, and he would say, no, you skipped a bit, you missed a bit. Everything, the whole Torah was, he knew it. So I thought, a whole week he was doing this. On the last day, Maran came to the Kever of the Beit Yosef, started to learn and pray, and he said to him, I know how to speak with these tzaddikim, because this is the last opportunity.
He said,
the Chatan is saying to the Maran, I learn Torah with you, and I'm spreading your Torah. I'm doing everything to strengthen people and to with your Torah. And now, Tom, he got better as a result. Hassan said to him, how can we live without him? This is a person.
It
was holy to Hashem.
It's למרות שזה הארי בא בלבוש של הרשש כדי לבאר את דבריו הראשון. אז יש דברים כאלה. זה לא הבאת לי פה איזה דבר שטות. זה לא שטות. רק מה? אני לא יודע. אני ככה הרגשה שלי. ההתמדה של מרן והדימות שלו אין להם דוגמה, אין להם
מחברת.
אני ראיתי כל ימי גודלתי על ברכי
חכמים
ורבות למדתי מהם ורבות ראיתי על הנהגותיהם, אבל כבושם הזה לא היה, לא ראינו אפילו בין הגדולים הפורסמים שבדורנו, התמדה כזאת עוד עוברת.
Even amongst the great ones of the generation, the consistency of
Ramavadya,
you won't find.
You wouldn't count the seconds when
people would come to him. We've got a party called Shas. And they thought that he had no intention at all to make a party like the other parties. All his desire, all his will to spread Torah, to increase Torah, to strengthen Torah.
He would
make sure that there were mikvahot that were missing or lacking.
He
would make sure that rich people would help, that they
If so,
then the Rav needs to have a party, a political party, in order to achieve all those things. So he said, fine, and that's the reason why he took a political party in order to achieve those aims. I was many times.
I was
within for 2 minutes or maybe 5 minutes, generally 2 minutes. If there was a big thing, that's something
important.
He'd be careful, he would check himself that he was never missing Torah, he'd never bitter Torah.
כשבאים אליהם אנשים חשוב מתביישים להגיד לו, אדוני, מתביישים, אז מדברים איתו. ויש אנשים תרחנים, אוהבים לדבר, מעריכים, אז אלה מסכים מתבייש, מדבר איתם עוד. לפעמים הוא מלא מזווה תורה, לפעמים, אבל זה לא אלימות. אצל הרב אין כזה. אין לו סייעת השמנו, כוח אדיר, ולא בחשק שלו בתורה. כי כשאדם חפץ בדבר הרבה, והשמיים מסיים, שיתקיים
לי. אתם יודעים דוגמה, מהגמרת
חולים ספרת, מעשה, שרבנו הקדוש הלך לעשות פדיון שבוי, ובדרך רצה להיכנס לצאת במנחס פיכם.
When Rabbeinu HaKadosh went to the mitzvah Pidyon Shavuim,
ראה שיש לו פרידות לבנות. אמר מלאך המוות במתו של זה, ואני אכנס אליו כי הפרידות לבנות מסוכנות. אבל זה מחזיק מזיק בתוך ביתו, מלאך המוות. ואני אכנס לא רוצה, נכתיב. יצא גם לא מהצד השני. והפסיקו את ויש מדברים. אמר לו, אתה יודע שאני יודע בכלל שאתה לא נהנית מהחדה. היה נזהר, רבינו הקדוש, לא נהנה. אמר לו, כן, אבל עם ישראל קדושים הם, חרבינו הקדושים. יש שאין להם ורוצים לתת. ויש שיש להם ולא רוצים.
אבל אתה יודע לך.
שיש לך,
people who have it don't want to give, and people who have it don't want to give.
כמו התחמקות, שחזר מפדיון שבויים, שאין מצווה למעלה ממנה, שחזר משם, יצא בפיחס מיד אחד. עכשיו, אין לו תירוץ. אמר לו, אבל הייתי פרדות לבנות, איך אתה מחזיק את זה? אמר לו, את האמת. אמר לו, טוב, אני אבקר אותם. מקום סגור, אבל אני אעקור להם את הרגליים, את המקומות האלה. אמר להם, שער בעלי חיים דאורייתא. אמר לו, אני אמיץ אותם, גם זה אסור. והוא ממשיך להתלקח, גבה תורה ביניהם. ההר יצא ביניהם, וכבר לא ראו זאת. מה הפירוט? מה זה השם עושה ככה? נשא בחינה? השתמע השם קרע את הים, בשביל להציל את ישראל. קבע את הירדן להציל, אבל כאן, משום התורה, ממה הוא מציל אותו? אלא צר רבינו החדוש הייתה הנהגה שלא להנות מהמחר. הוא מקפיד על הנהגה שלו, והשמיים מסייעים לו, אפילו עושים הר בינו לבין, כי הוא לא יכול לעמוד נגד, כבחס ולעיר גדול העולם, איך הוא יכול לעמוד נגדו? אז מה, כדי שהצדיק לא ישנה דרכו, שנהג בה, הוציא את הרב. אמרנו, אני לא רגיל לאכול. אמרנו, אני בעצמי ניחרתי את זה. יחשש באחורי שניקור של חוט החלם, מדם, וגם חלם עצמו. אבל אני ניחרתי את זה בעצמי. אתם יודעים מה זה אני ניחרתי? זאת אומרת, השוחה הארוך ניחרת. לא פחות, השוחה הארוך, וזה וזה מה, זה השוחה הארוך. אבל טוב, כמו זה ניחר, אני ניחר. התחיל ככה על... אז הוא קורא לו למרן, מרן, מרן מצאתי פוגית. מרן עליו השלום, היה לו פלג, הוא יודע שהוא נכתר, ומרן היה קודש חדשים, הם לא מביאים את הקרה בפרט באוכל, יש לו סוף וכולים. אותו רגע בא אליו המגיד, המלאך שלומד עם מרן קבוע, בא אליו אותה, אמרתי בהם, אתה לא אישה תקנו. רק זה לא רוצה לאכול, זה החכם הזה, אפילו מכיר יעשה לך גידים, לא מבסק. כשהוא לא רוצה, אל תיבא, זה לא נכון, אין גיד, רק הוא לא רוצה. אז מה נגיד? אז מה אפשר, מה רואים? להיות ועלי, היה מקפיד לא לאכול, השמיים זה, יצא גיד, כדי... אם בריאי ברא השם, אפילו אם אין...
tell a story about me, ארי, he keeps a piece of meat.
אני אומר לכם, בעניין הזה
ששקידה בתורה, it's very difficult to clean the hind quarters from the gidim and everything. So then when you want to eat it, the butcher who bought it said, I personally checked it. And I personally cleaned it in the eye. You can rely on me 100%. So Rari said, so fine, okay. So then when he came to eat it, suddenly he saw that there was a piece of vein, a gid that was still in there.
The
Talmud explained that because he wasn't used to eating yet, they saved him from heaven from having to eat a piece of meat he would never normally eat. He said even he would have found a piece of, even in a rock, Hashem would have made a piece of a chut to be in it so that he wouldn't have to eat it. That's an example of how the Shem helped people to, then they keep on the same path.
חוזרים כבר רואים אותו שקוע, כאילו מעולם לא דיבר עם איש. שקוע שמתביישים ואתרים על אותו דבר לא מתביישים עוד. ככה היה תמיד השקיעה שהיה משקיע עצמו בתורה. אין דוגמה לזה.
היום
לכם אין דוגמה, אין אח ורע. יש לי הזמן קצר, התחברתי בגלון ועוד כמה מקומות לעשות. אני אגיד עוד כמה מילים. יש דבר שכולם יודעים, הבקיאות שלו.
Everyone knows this. Proficiency in Torah.
זה ודאי, דורות, עמדים ודורות, כולם יודעים שזה דבר.
Everybody knows that that was something that... One time I remember the Rav told his son, I was over there. He said, you know,
finish it.
There's a Beit Din for Mamon, a Beit Din for money, and a Beit Din also for Mikvaot. Make a Mikvaot.
The Rav said Mikvaot. And if you do
something correctly, if it was an individual mikvah, you could suspect him that it's not right, but a Beit Din you can't suspect. There's no worry of suspicions on a Beit
Din. פעמים בגיל העדות אמרתי אני אראה אבל עשיתי בכבוד אמרתי לו מחילה מרבנו ודאי לא נעלם תלמידו של הנודע ביהודה שהוא בא מאבא שאמר אני עוד לא התחלתי אבל אתה מתכוון סימן קלוני עוד פעם זה מה היה שם אני אספר לכם היה שוחט אחד בעיר של התלמיד שלנו גאון עצום
He was a student of a great man. He had
a butcher. וגם השחיטה האחרונה ששחט לפני יומיים הסכין כולה אני עכשיו מתוודא לפני השם לפניך
and he wanted to make a confession in front of the Chevra Kadisha he knew he was about to die that his knife wasn't so sharp and everyone was relying on me to kashrut and sometimes my
throat wasn't so kosher
He wanted to make tshuva.
הרב אומר, אני יודע, ברור. עלתה שאלה. אבל זה עד אחד מהחשב. זה מה שמרן אמר על הכלום. אז אמר הרב, תשובה מהבא, לא. רב, היות שקיבלו עליהם כרב, היות אחרי על איסור ואתר, זה לא עד אחד. קיבלו עליהם, אז דינו כמו בדין, ואי אפשר להחיש. נכון, בסדר. בעניינים אמורים. גם פה, אני אמרתי, עוד לא אמרתי לכל הסיפור, לא סיפרתי לו את זה. אבל אתה מתכוון סיפרה וסימן לו לי על שוחט, השיקור ההוא, ככה מי הדבר. אבל כאילו עכשיו יוכל. אמרתי, אבל אתה צודק שהוא אמר לך. אבל תראה בשוט פלוני, סימן פלוני, חלק לעליו לעבר. עוד בשוט פלוני הוא ספר לי 14 פוסקים. ככה כאילו חלק. אני כמעט איזה בעלפה, עוד לא דיברנו, עוד לא התחלנו. זו ידיעה שדיברתי עם דוד העולם, ואחד לא ידע ממנה. אם יהיו 14 פוסקים בסימנים, בכתובת מדויקת, הכל מסודר.
different explanations, different פוסקים to prove his point, before we'd even started to discuss the issue.
מה אנו, מה חיינו, מה תורתנו, מה לימודנו, מה...
So compared to him, what is our learning? Our learning is nothing. The world does know
his
breath, but no one understands how deep he went into the, he knew the breadth, the width of the Torah, but his learning, Yud, was even greater than the
human.
He gave me a chance as a several occasions to see how great one of the times. I was every year
for 18-20 years.
I was part of the Beit Din.
He
was trying to teach me, and I was embarrassed. He would say, no, you say, you give the ruling.
Once he told me about
Barnat, which is to do with when meat is built, they transfer from one place to another place, from one pot to another pot. Not Barnat. And he wrote about it in the book. When he was very young, he wrote about it. One year
I gave lectures in Tel Aviv,
and I came to this thing that he'd written in that book. On Nat Barnat,
I
proved from the fact that Moran, he passed it the same way on this issue. When I wrote about it, I searched many books, and I thought that I covered all the perushim, all the understandings on this subject. And the Rav came to write a Haskamah on the book, and he wrote for me so many additional things that I hadn't even realized existed on that same subject.
You're not
allowed to eat any kind of at all on Pesach. Even a little bit, it doesn't get cancelled in 1,000 times. Now, Barnat, you are allowed to eat even on Pesach. Even if 1 in 1,000. So the fact that you put the pound and taste of the meat or the milk into something, for example, Pesach, you have. Not by not means that the taste of the hamet is still in the pot. That is allowed. So it's not clear why that should be allowed.
I found
an understanding of why that's true. I was very happy that I found an answer to that. That same earth.
Because
I asked Moran
אתה עוד עומד את אומרת ככה, אבל זה לא, לא, עכשיו על פסח. אבל טוב, עכשיו יצא עוד יום. אמרתי לו את העידוש, אבל העידוש הזה בישיבה, אמרתי שעה וחצי, לרב אמרתי דקה וחצי. כי זה רק בלי אפשר על ידו, הכל גלוי לפעמים.
I told him my Kiddush that I had about this, not my not, why it's another Pesach, why it shouldn't be
Kiddush.
And I wrote it and I explained to him in the words of the Ramban. The Ramban, which was the source for the Rav's Kiddush on this subject. And I told him the Ramban.
כשאמרתי כך כתוב ברמב"ם, אמרתי כנראה שלא הסברתי את עצמי. ביקשתי, לקחתי אומץ וביקשתי עוד פעם בשביל. אמרתי, בחילה אני רוצה לחזור. צחק, טוב, תחזור. התחלתי עכשיו, הרחבתי עוד. גמרתי, כן, זה מה שכתב ברמב"ם.
He explained to the Rav his Kiddush. Well, my Rav said to him, yeah, that's exactly what the Rambam says. So he said, no, he didn't understand. I made a Kiddush on what the Rambam says, not what the Rambam says. And he explained his Kiddush again, and the Rav said to him, no, that's exactly what the Rambam says. So then he left, he was all upset. Well, what's going on? So he thought maybe I would went and check. He went back and back again and again over that same Rambam. And he saw every single thing he said his whole Kiddush was exactly in that line of Rambam that Maran said. Maran said it's all in that Rambam, and it was. When Maran read the Rambam, he understood it all from just reading that one passage of Rambam.
אחרי 10 דקות הוא עבר, מה אתה עוד עומד? אז הוא הלך אליו, אבא, אבא. קלודים, שלום, שם. ישבתי, נתן לי ספר שהיה מעיין בו, מילי 10,000, ישן. תקרא את זה. דוי לו, הוא ככה שקוע, לא זה. ישן, תקרא. אני הסתפקתי מה הוא מתכוון, אם לקרוא בקול, או לקרוא לעצמי, ואחר כך הוא ישאל אותי, לא ידעתי מה זה. ואני מפחד, להרים כל יהודי, אני מפריע לו, כי הוא מיד שקר. אז מה, אז אני לא יודע, אני אצלול את זה, הכל בשנייה. התחלתי לקרוא קצת בקול, ואני מסתכל מבין הרסתי עיניי, לראות אם הוא מקשיב. הייתי שהוא מקשיב, אז הבנתי שהוא רוצה, אז הרמתי קצת. אני קורא, לא מקשיב, אני קורא. אני מפרש, ראיתי שמיש תיקון פשוט תיקן ביד. אמרתי לה, מרן, אני חושב שיותר טוב שנאמר כמו שהיה לפניכם, לא כמו התיקון הזה. למה אתה אומר? אמרתי, תורה צריך לשאול את זה, אפילו ש... אני עונה לו, והוא מחשיב. מעולם לא היה לי איתו מסע ומתן כמו היום. 20 דקות עצו, אתם יודעים מה זה 20 דקות שעה? זה כמו 20 חודשים שלנו, אולי יותר. ואני הייתי רואה את כולי נזיע מפעם. מפעם במה, אבל אני מוכרח, הוא אומר, תגיד, אני אומר, אחרי שגמר, לא עשי. אבל לי, אתה צודק, בוא תראה, מראה לי, גם הוא כתב, כבר כתב. אבל רציתי לבחור את הדברים, כי לזה הוא חלק על הבן שחיים. אז לא רצה סתם, כל קדם, אבל הוא צריך, כשהראה אותי, הוא תומד עליו, הוא אומר, תהיית הכניס, עד שהדבר, אנשים חושבים שהוא חלק על בן שחיים, כאילו, למד, חלק, כאילו, באותה הזדמנות ראיתי הבן שחיים שלו, לא הכרתי אותו, זה בן שחיים שנתפס בימיו גדול, כזה גדול, כמו גמר. הפכתי כשהרב היה נעים, נחתי קצת, והרב עוד דם. שבו גיליונות גדולים. היו מלאים כולם בהגעות שמרה במכתב הקטן. לא נשאר מקום לשים מחת. כל מדהים. אז הוא ראה שאני מסתכל, אמרתי לו, אני רואה שהגעות, אמר לי, אני לימדתי את הבן שחר כולו בציבור 10 פעמים, ובכל פעם למדתי אותו עם כל המקורות מחדש. ואז הלכתי. מי, כל אלה שצעקו, מי מהם למד פעם אחת כמו שהוא למד חלק אחד?
People argue with the Ben Ish Chai.
אם היו רואים,
the whole Ben Ish Chai, with all the commentaries on it, 10 times before he began to argue and give different opinions on the Ben Ish
Chai. הקדמה לטהרת הבית, שבא לו הבן איש חי ומצא אותו, שם הכתב לא הכל פעם, שקלתי את השאר. ובא אמר לו, אשריך בשמיים יש שמחה גדולה מהתורה שלך, ומראה לו על הרבי עומר, מהספר יש שמחה גדולה בשמיים. אמר לו הרב לבן איש חי, אבל הרבה זמן אני מאבד ללמד וללכת. אמר לו, גם זה יש מה שאתה עושה, גם בזה שמחים מאוד, אחוז בזה וגם מזה אתה נחל. למה הוא סיפר לי היה מעשה? כי רצון שזכותו תעמוד לכם ולנור כל ישראל. רבי חנניה והקשה שנאמר, דיברה חירותיה וימליק מחותיה ועצמה ותמה קרב משחה היקום ומקום חיים לכל בישראל העגלה ובזמן קריב ואמרו אמן והעמלה התברה השתבח והתפעה והתרומם והתנסה והתהדה להתעלה להתעלה שמד קודשה וריחו לעירה מנקור גרחתה של דרכתה מלחמתה דם ירם בעלמה ואמרו אמן עם ישראל והרבנן והתמידון הכל תמידי תמידון דייתבין ועספין באורייתא קדישתא דבטרא הדין מפרטה ואתה אילנו לא נכון של המחינה וחסדיו חיה לכם שלנו וחבר החמי חודם אל העם הרי שמיה והרעב אמרו אמן של אמר הבא משמיה חיים סבב שעה מלחמה זוון כה ובולם סלחה ונבנה רמח והצלה לנו באמו ישראל ואמרו אמן עושה שלום במרומה ואמר עושה שלום עלינו ואמרו ישראל ואמרו והחוכמה ואין תמצא וזה מקום בינה של אדם בצל חוכמה ואדם יביא בכיוונה מרב תוכה שצפת לראיך פעלת אנחנו עושים בך נבד בני אדם ביקר חסדך אלוהים בני אדם בצל כנפך את ישראל ובעיון לידי של ביתך ונחל כדשכם המטוב שם ישים וטוב אמורים לברך ונחל קורא אותם ויחוז ויחמור וירחם על נפש רוח ושם של אדוננו מורנו ורבנו עטרת תפארת כל בית ישראל מרן רבנו עובדיה יוסף בן מוג'ין שנסתלק לעולמו כי היום הזה רוח אדוני תנחנו ולנעדן ולסן שוכמים עמו בכלל הרחמים והסליחות חיל ירצון ונאמר אמן נשו בטוב תלין וזרעו ירשארץ וזכותו תעמוד לכם לנור כל ישראל לכם ויהיה הזכות תעמוד לכל הישיבה בראש הישיבה בראשם אל נא רפנה לו, נא רפנה לו, רפואה שלמה, אורך ימים ושנות חיים ושלום יוסיפו לך, חיים יצפים.
לא, רק שישה הרבה הוא כן במעריך. גם אני במעריך.